I want to talk to you now. What you see is what you'll get. Now, I want to realize, you know, on Wednesday night, like, what I say can be taken for the natural and the spiritual. You know, to be successful, you have to see things in the right way. And you also have to see more than just with your physical eye. You have to see with the inner eye, and you have to see with the spirit on the inside, natural, physical, and spiritual. You know, if you want to be successful in life, you have to learn to see what God's Word says, and you also have to learn how to use your imagination. Do you realize that everything that we enjoy, everything we enjoy in life, from a mixer to a toaster to whatever, before it was ever in physical evidence, it was imagined in somebody's mind. Hello? You know, a man and his wife got mad at each other one day, and they sort of got in a yelling, and then finally a little bit of a fight. And he just yelled at her, "Get out of my sight. I don't want to see you." And she said, "Don't worry, you won't see me for a while." And sure enough, he didn't see his wife for several days. And finally, after 3 days, the man's swollen eyes opened just a little bit, and he could see a little out of his left eye. Now, that is something funny. But I wonder sometimes if we don't hinder ourselves by blinding ourselves to something that God is trying to show us, and even something that He's trying to show us in the natural. Hello? Sometimes you need to use God's Word and the natural. You know, you hear about 20/20 eyesight, right? And that actually refers to what a normal person can see 20 feet away from them. Y'all all know I used to wear glasses and bifocals so I could read. Well, I had cataract surgery, and after they put that lens in, I have 20/20 vision now. I didn't have, but I do now. Praise the Lord. You know, vision is something that we have to learn how to use. Come on. Now, I want to talk to you about having good vision tonight. You know, one of our board members from years ago, he saw a piece of property, and he began to envision that this could be a good investment. He was working in a bank as a bank cashier. Our tellers, we think we used to call them. Now they call them cashiers. And so he got an option on that piece of land, and he tried to sell it to filling stations, you know, Shell and all. He tried to sell it to convenience stores, and nothing happened. And he said he is praying about it, and the Lord told him, go back to I forgot what oil company it was, and he told the Lord, he said, now see, he saw this with his natural eye, but now he began to pray about it, and the Lord told him, go back to that last oil company you was just there. He said, I was just there yesterday, and they said they weren't even interested. But he went back anyway, and after he had been there, they found out that they were fixing to put a freeway right there by where this piece of property was, and there was going to be an exit ramp there, and they bought one lot that paid for the whole rest of the thing. And then the rest of the strip shopping center and everything that he built on there, it was all gravy, because he used his inner, what he saw with his own eye, and what he had in his heart. See, Proverbs 29:18 says, the first part says, where there's no vision, the people perish. That's in the King James Version, not in the New King James Version. And NLT says, that first part, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. The Passion Translation says, where there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly astray, wander astray. Now, this is not talking about our side. It's talking about seeing and having vision and revelation from the Word of God. Someone said, vision is the art of seeing things that are unseen. You know, I don't know who come up with it, but when I was a kid, in our churches, I don't know about the other churches because I was Pentecostal, but in none of our churches, we didn't have any baptistries. We went to the pond, tank farm pond, or we went to the creek for baptism. Anybody know, everybody ever been that way? Well, I got a few people in here that barely lived. The rest of you have never lived until you have to go on a creek bank and try to do a baptismal service, and especially if the bank is steep and it's clay and it gets wet. I've seen a lot of people that were helping people in and out of the being baptized get baptized themselves because they slid into the river. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I got some hands back there. Also, it wasn't very much fun for the preachers. I've been there, and because you wade out there and you sink up in mud about halfway up your leg. You know, sometimes we need to look at things. Anybody ever heard of somebody by the name of Helen Keller? She was a blind and deaf educator. And she said, it's a terrible thing to see and have no vision. She went on to say, I can see, and that is why I can be happy in what you call the dark, but which to me is golden. I can see a God-made world and not a man-made world. See, we can see, if we learn how, we can see with the inner eyes from the Word, from the Holy Spirit, or with our natural eyes. You know, J. Oswald Sanders said, eyes that look are common. Eyes that see are rare. Now, I got that out of You're Born to Original, Don't Be a Copy. That's now, what are you talking about here? You're talking about seeing beyond what you naturally can see, seeing the possibilities that exist that maybe nobody else sees. Now, if we're going to have proper vision, we have to enlarge our horizons and also of our imagination in the natural and with the Word of God. Now, let's look at Genesis 15:5-6. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up in the sky. Count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you'll have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. God told Abraham to look at the stars, and every time Abraham looked up at the stars, it meant something different to him than it did his brother if he was looking at the stars. Hello? Because to him it represented something different. You see, we can all read the pages of the Word of God, and whatever it is we need, The eyes of the Holy Spirit will cause us to have an understanding of that scripture that maybe the other person has a different understanding because that's what they need. See, when we read the Word of God, we need to let the Holy Spirit show us things. And I'm going to say something. There are a lot of people are trying to figuring out things. Just listen read the Word of God for what it says. Now, I just heard this, and I probably shouldn't say anything, but I'm going to say it. I just heard about it the other day. People are saying you shouldn't tell anybody you're proud of them. You shouldn't tell your kids you're proud of them. They're saying that's what God says, that pride go before the fall. That's prideful. That's not prideful. I don't know who said that, but I'll tell you, and I tell it to them to their face, I'm not afraid of anybody. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. How many agree with me? But you see what happens, these people, they start reading and they're looking for something different. So I got this new revelation. It's supposed to make them popular. Well, I can tell you what, I've been in this all of my life. And I can tell you minister after minister that come up with this new revelation and they hit the big stage for about a month or two or three, and then I haven't heard in some, and you know, and that, then in recent years, that was back when I was a kid, teenager. But in recent years, myself being a minister, I've seen some of these. They come, and they were all big on Christian television, and you hadn't heard about them in years. Hello? Because if it's not built on the solid Word of God, it won't last. You can go read a book, All Things Are Possible. It used to be, we used to teach it in school. And Harold was the man's name. I was sat with my dad when he interviewed him because nobody was writing the history of the charismatic renewal that they called it at that time. He was a history professor at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. And he would write about all, and he wrote about Kenneth E. Hagin, and Tad probably had this when he was in school. He probably had this course. And he said, Kenneth E. Hagin is teaching the same thing that he's come off of his bed of affliction teaching in 1933. I remember that's in that book. A lot of people, they change. They went, hey, if it's built on the Word of God, it'll still be around. Hello. I don't know how I got off on that because we're talking about what Abraham saw. He saw one thing. Somebody else saw something else. You know what? I had a plan drawn, or not, it's not plan, but a plot of this property many years before it was ever accomplished. Exactly where every building is, where this auditorium sits. At that time, because we didn't have the church going on when I first came out here in 76, but right here was going to be an auditorium, multi-purpose auditorium that we could rent out like they do the Mabee Center. But we finally got an auditorium here, but it was the church auditorium because it didn't work out. What I'm saying is, and when we started building this building, and you can ask Tony Cook and some of the rest of them that were on staff here, I would bring all the associates every day. I brought them out here. I brought them out here when they first were digging the dirt, and I stood right back here because the pulpit was going to be back here then. And I said, "Now this is the downstairs, and up there is the balcony, and this is where the pulpit will be. Can you see it?" Well, they sort of shake their head. Tony told me, he said, we couldn't see nothing. But you see, I saw it in my, I didn't say the Lord gave it to me, it's in my imagination, in my own brain. I saw the auditorium. How did I come up with all of the things that we had in this auditorium at that time? It was state of the art in 1992. Now, if I built it today, I'd build it completely different. But I I had traveled all over the United States with my dad and in my own self preaching. I'd seen auditorium after church auditorium. And I designed this with the things that I saw in that auditorium that wasn't good. Most of the time, they didn't have enough room on the platform. Now we got too much room. But when we had it here, some of you that was here in 92 when we moved in here, and that choir back there, 200 voices on back there, and that orchestra would come up out of Donald Hagen's and hit those timpanis, and we would start saying, how many of you were here? And we would start singing Majesty, oh my soul. It was some, and I'm not talking about just a few instruments. I'm talking at a full-blown orchestra with harps and trombones and violins and all of it, everything. But you see, I saw that with my own imagination. Sometimes if you're going to expand yourself in the natural, you've got to learn to have an imagination and see some things that can be accomplished. But you have to also do this with the inner eye from the Holy Spirit as you read the Word of God. As you read the Word, you will see things that maybe you read this. Maybe you're reading the Bible through. I did it with my kids 7 times, reading the Bible through. And every time you read the same passages of Scripture that you read last year, and all of a sudden you saw something different. What is that? That was the eyes of the Holy Spirit, because that's what you needed then. Back the other time, you did whatever you saw in that scripture is what you needed for your life at that time. How many of you have done that? Read scripture over, you know? And sometimes I was reading something, and all of a sudden, I noticed something in that scripture I'd never seen before. Actually, I preached on it. It's the last scripture there in the first chapter of Joshua where tell Joshua to be strong and courageous. Remember that? And you get down to the last verse of that chapter, and the people said to Joshua, they said, If nobody hasn't followed what you tell them to do, we're gonna get rid of them. We're going to stone them. Because that's the people that had to live in the wilderness because their parents couldn't see themselves going to the promised land. But you see, I read that because I've read that many times. Y'all have heard me preach about the children of Israel many, many times, and I'd never seen that before until just here recently. You see, Abraham could see differently than anybody else when he looked at the stars. This gave him the ability to enlarge his horizons. You know, you got to learn to use your imagination both in the spiritual side and the natural side. You know, many times in planning for the church, I pray and I begin to say, all right, Lord, we could do this. It would be a blessing. We could do this. It can be a blessing. How many understand what I'm saying to you? In fact, the staff members can tell you that at staff meetings sometimes we talk about different things that could happen, you know, and as each one begins to give some input, then we come up with a plan. But you see, we're also not only looking at it from the inside, but we're also looking at it from the natural. If we happen to do this, how is it going to affect this part of the church? If we happen to do this, how is it going to affect the kids? If we happen to do this, how is it going to affect this, that, or the other? You see, what I'm trying to say to you is that we all have to learn how to see different things in our lives that can help us in the natural and that can help us in the spiritual. Hello? And when we're dealing with it, with the church, we're dealing with it at all of the staff. To what is going to be effective? You know. Sometimes y'all don't even realize that what you see on this platform has been seen and talked about in a staff meeting before it ever got here. Hello. See, y'all don't ever think about that sort of things. But you see, you have to do that with your own natural life. You have to see yourself accomplishing certain goals if you're going to do something in life. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you have seen a car and then you start imagining yourself in that car, driving that car? Anybody ever done that? Now, keep your hands up. How many of you eventually what you saw became a reality? Keep your hand up. See, that's what I'm trying to talk about. What we see in the spirit and what we see in the natural, that's usually what we are able to become a reality in our lives. Hello? You know, an active imagination will help you to look for opportunities. Some people sit around wishing, but you got to begin to look for opportunities. Hello? You know, they say don't cross a bridge till you get to it. Let me tell you what. Every invention that you know about and you live with every day, somebody crossed that bridge with their imagination many, many months before it ever become a reality. Right. You know, it's said that one day Michelangelo saw a block of marble, and the owner said it was of no value. Angelo said, "It's valuable to me. There's an angel imprisoned in there, and I must set it free." See, he saw the owner, he just saw a block of marble. That's just a block of marble. Michelangelo saw an angel. Come on. See, we need to realize how we see things is how we will experience life. You know, what you continue to imagine and dream about in your vision usually comes to pass. You know, any of you that have played sports, if you got a good coach, I mean, man, he come in that locker room, and he come by everybody, and he come up to you, and he said, "Okay, Hagen, see yourself stealing second base. See yourself stealing home." And if any of you play baseball or men's fast pick softball, I used to play, it's hard to steal home. It's harder to steal home than any other base. See yourself, he said, see yourself shooting the basket. See yourself catching the winning pass, touchdown pass. What is he doing? He is getting you to begin to use your imagination to accomplish a goal. You know, my dad used to say to me, "Son, set your goals high. And if you reach half of them, you've accomplished something. Set your goals low and reach them all, and you hadn't done very much." I well remember our junior-senior banquet. I don't know whether they have that stuff, but when I was in school, we had a junior-senior banquet at the end of the year. Anybody in school when they used to do that? And the theme of our banquet was hitch your wagon to a star. In other words, reach high. look high. You know, we can go and I'm not going to read it because I'm running out of time. But in Genesis 13, 8 through 18, Lot looked and he saw the good land over by this sin cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And he took a long look at that fertile plain in the Jordan Valley, and so that's where he went. So Abraham told him to choose first. Then Abraham looked, and the Lord told him, look as far as you can see. And he's got, and this is not the good part. Lot already got the good part. In every direction, north, south, east, and west. And I'm going to give you as far as you can see, to you and your descendants. Do you realize when Abraham was saying that, I don't know that he even had a descendant yet. I'd have to study that out. I just thought about that. Okay. I think about stuff like that sometimes. And he said, go walk through the land in every direction. I'm going to give it to you. So Abraham moved his camp to Hebron. Now, I want you to notice, Lot looked long, verse 11, and he went that direction. In verse 14, Abraham looked as far as he could see, and God said, I'm going to give you the land. Here, we see both looked with their eyesight, and one went this way, and one went that way. If you're not careful, you can go the wrong direction. Abraham followed God. Lot followed the natural. In some things, you need to look, follow God here. In some things, God gives you the opportunity to follow in the natural. And that's why I come up with the natural and the supernatural coming together. See, don't just go in the natural. If you see and feel like that'd be a good thing to do, check it out with God first and see what God says. Come on. Anybody get anything out of this? Am I helping anybody at all? I hope you're getting I'm trying to get you to be able to see more than you see. You know, now, you know why people sometimes lose out? Because they listen to cop-outs, burnouts, and dropouts instead of listening to the positive people that believe and will believe with you for everything to come to pass. Looking back will hinder you from going forward, and we've said that many times. But Helen Keller said this, when one door of happiness closes, another opens. But often we look so long at the closed door that we don't see the one which has been opened for us. You know, some people are still looking at the sunset of yesterday, and they miss the sunrise of today. That's a good statement. Now, worry and fear can keep you from seeing possibilities, both doing something for God. I know a lot of people that they saw a thing and they believed it was what God wanted them to do, but because of fear of failure, they never accomplished it. Anything that has ever been accomplished, they had to overcome the fear of failure. Because if you have a fear of failure, you'll never try it. Hello? It's like One of my coaches said this, and you use it all the time. You got to believe you can before you can. Fear and worry distort your perspective. Now let me close this out real quick. If you're going to capture the ideas and opportunities and possibilities, then you have to be able and be willing to dream, to think, and I'd say do it with the Holy Ghost. Let Him help you, even with natural things. I don't know, I was doing something just the other day, and I could see what needed to be done, but I didn't know exactly how to do it. And I just said, all right, Holy Spirit, this is what needs to be done. Help me to see how to do it. Hello. There's two C's there. I see in it here, I'm looking at it and I see it, but because I saw that something needed to be done, but I didn't know exactly what needed, I asked the Holy Spirit. And so with my natural eye and my inner eye, which is the Holy Spirit, I was able to accomplish it. Let me understand what I'm saying to you, okay? You know, I could go on and on. But don't spend time thinking about the negative side. My dad always used to say to me all the time, son, stay on the positive. Don't go to the negative. And he'd say, if negative people come around you, get away from them. He said, I don't care who it is. He said, you can't live a positive life hanging out with negative people. They will drag you down. Oh, I'm gonna help them and pull them up. No, they'll drag you down. Don't spend time thinking of what could happen negatively. Spend time thinking about what can happen. Hello? You see that balcony up there? You that came here in 92 and was moved in this building, those curtains never opened for a year or so. You know what I told the staff? I said, they won't open for a while, but I said, they will open. And we did. We filled it up, downstairs and upstairs. But through the years, a whole bunch more churches came into town, and so people would go there and come here. We still have a good crowd. You know, that's like if you only rested in town and somebody has to put in another restaurant, some people are going to go to that other restaurant because they like it better than yours. And so people leave. I say, well, praise the Lord. God bless you. If they can get more over there, let them go. Don't that bother you? No, don't bother me. I'm going to keep doing exactly what God told me to do, don't matter what. Somebody said, well, your crowd was small today. Well, who cares? I'm going to preach the same sermon to the small crowd and I'm going to preach to the big crowd. And some of you that were in school when Dad was there, y'all have heard him say, you preach to five people just like you preach to 5,000. How many of you in school when they heard him say that? Hello? You know, some people are wishing for possibilities and miss the possibilities that God is trying to show them. Or you might say it like this. They're looking everywhere for possibilities and missing the possibilities that exist right where they're at. Unless you can see beyond what you already see, you'll never grow into all that God has for you. I'm going to stop with that. I had more notes, but I'm going to stop. Everybody stand. Did you get anything out of this at all tonight? Thank God I got one person that got something. But I just wanted to stir you up. to begin to look for opportunities with your natural eyes and begin to look for opportunities with your spiritual eyes, and then bring both of them together. Father, help us to see more than we're seeing, both in the Word and both in the natural. Thank you, Father, to give people ideas that they can produce that will help humanity in all that they do in the natural. Give us eyes to see what we need in the spiritual part of our lives so that we can be all we can be for you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. If you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, the ladies are here, men on this side. This is our prayer partners. They'll pray with you. You come down here. If you need prayer for anything, for any reason, you come down here and pray with them. Hey, Sunday morning right here, it's Father's Day. So come believing, come expecting. Craig's going to be speaking Sunday morning. I will be with Miss Lynette. I won't even get to be here Sunday morning because Denise and Craig have got to be here. But Miss Lynette is doing well, and just keep believing God with her for completeness and wholeness. And the pain has been a little bad, but she's conquering that too. That's where Pastor Denise is with her now. So I got to go. She's been there with her today, and I got to go relieve her so she can go home. Okay, but she's doing good, and she said, "Hi, and thank you for your prayers." God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning. If you need prayer for anything, for any reason, come to the front right now and pray with these people, and you won't leave here like you came. God bless you. Turn around, shake hands with somebody, and said, "How well are you seeing?"